morning, everyone. It's really lovely to see you all here today. I'm sure there's lots of other places and lots of other things that you could be doing, but you're here, and it's really special, and it means a lot to share in this worship service together. For those who weren't here in the Bible class, I'm not Daniel Smith. We share a first name, and that's about it. He's done a lot more study on these classes for Leviticus, so I'm really just winging it, but we'll get as far as we can. Hopefully Daniel himself will have prepared sufficiently so that he can resume the classes next week. You'll recall that last week we looked at the idea of priests, priests in a general sense, the idea that many religious groups have some form of a priest, and the idea being that the priest would act as a mediator to God, have access to God, and that there were a range of different tasks that priests would carry out, and that in the New Testament we see that there isn't a priestly caste set aside, but rather that we are all priests. We all have direct access to God through Jesus Christ, and we all have tasks that we carry out. Today's topic looks more specifically at the idea of ordination of priests. And that word ordination might be an unusual word for us, but you're perhaps familiar with it. So it's not just priests that are ordinated or designed or given a role or said, this is your designation, this is who you are now. We can think of the likes of kings and queens. So I know it's been quite a while since England and therefore Australia had the ordination of a new monarch. I think it was 1953 was the last time. That is when this person, Elizabeth II, is now hereby known as the Queen, with all the responsibilities, all the authority that that entails. You think of the knights of old, that classic kneeling down, the sword on each side of their shoulder, they're ordinated and tasked as a knight and given, again, specific responsibilities as a result of that. The reading that Abby kindly brought to us from Leviticus there was referring to an ordination process for priests. In Leviticus chapter 8 and chapter 9, we have a description of how they were set apart, how these things were assigned specifically to the priests. We see there, we won't go back and read the entirety of chapters 8 and 9 of Leviticus. But day 1 there, Moses washed Aaron and his sons, and he anointed them. And again, this is a familiar or a typical element of process of ordination, where there is some sort of symbolic gestures towards purity, or the word sanctification, to be made holy, to be set apart, these sorts of things, to declare to those about this person is being assigned this specific role. And so we see there that they had olive oil that was poured on them, and they were given priestly garments, and there was 3 sacrifices. There was the purification, there was burning, and the ram of filling. And then they remained in that location. There was the doorway of the tent. That was the entrance to the outer court. They remained there for 7 days. And probably, it's most likely that they offered similar sacrifices. They repeated those sacrifices each day. And then on the 8th day, Aaron offered a purification offering, and a burnt offering for himself and his sons. And then the same 2 offerings were made for the people. And then finally he offered a peace offering. And again, we don't need to go into all of the specifics. There's quite detailed descriptions there in Leviticus 8 and 9 of animal innards and all of the different process that they did for that. But the generic point is the fact that there was ceremony, there was process around, and this is a special thing. This is an important role. This is a distinctive role. This is a priest who will act as mediator to God, who will carry out specific tasks that God wants the priests to do on behalf of the people, for the people, in order to come before God. So the Hebrew word for ordain literally means to fill the hands. So it's about God putting things in the priest's hands, and as we learned last week, we as priests, to be ordained as priests, it's about God filling our hands. If you turn briefly to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verses 1 to 9, we see here in a slightly different context a similar principle. So 1 Chronicles 29, 1 to 9, it says, "Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, 'My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but the Lord God. Now for the house of my God I have prepared with all my might, gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for wood, onyx stones to be set, glistening stones of various colours, all kinds of precious stones and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses, gold for things of gold, silver for things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord?' Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, 100,000 talents of iron. Whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord, into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. And the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly." So the point there isn't to focus on the abundant wealth, but rather on the willingness of the people there. David asked who would fill their hands for God's service. And the people filled their hands with offerings. They were prepared to give to the temple as a symbol of how much at this point in time they respected and loved and were prepared to give to God. Likewise, if we turn back to Leviticus 8 and 9, we see that Aaron and his sons had things placed in their hands through the ordination service. In Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 27, we read, "He put all these in Aaron's hands and in his sons' hands, and he waved them as a wave offering before the Lord." Likewise, in chapter 9 and verse 17, it says there that he brought the grain offering, took a handful of it, and burned it on the altar besides the burnt sacrifice of the morning. So the point here, the point of ordination, was to formally recognize that God had placed responsibilities in the hands of priests, and the people were to witness it. These were symbolic gestures, but symbolic gestures with a very real meaning underpinning them. So again, that's all fine and well for the priests of Israel many generations ago. What might that have to do with us? Well, as we looked at last week, we are ordained as priests. When we are baptized, we are set apart for God's work. We have access to God. We may not, we talked about last week, where all of the external elements that people associate with the priestly nature. But God isn't interested in all those external accoutrements. He's interested in the heart. He's interested in people willingly coming to God, wishing to serve Him. And so as you are ordained as priests, God is filling your hands with responsibilities. Again, we talk about this a lot, but as Christians, we aren't just baptized in water, have our sins washed away, and nothing changes. We don't just go about, resume our previous life, sort of a one-time thing, say a prayer, and that's it. No, there is supposed to be a fundamental shift. We are new people. We are new creatures. And as such, we have had stuff washed away, all the old, dark, ugly self. But remember, there's a vacuum there. It needs filling. It needs filling with good things. It needs filling with work. And God is filling us with responsibilities. Baptism is more than just the moment of receiving forgiveness. It is the moment when God appoints you as a priest and fills your hand with responsibility. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it like that. I haven't really conceived of it before these classes, but I think it's a really nice, and it certainly is my way of thinking, it makes sense. Again, we're not going to come in here and get rams and sprinkle, you know, blood against the door and burn the fat and all of these sorts of things. Much more simple, much more direct, but no less powerful. The fact is that as rain is poured or whatever it might be, we have responsibilities that God gives to each and every one of us. And of course, we know that to be true, don't we? Flip over to Matthew 25 and verses 14 to 30. This is where Jesus gives the parable of talents. Let's just read through. Again, I'm sure a lot of this text is very familiar, but I think it bears repeating and looking at closely. He says, "So the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' And he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, entering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what's the point then? The point is that we've got to use what we've been given. We have to do things with it. It's about a man in this parable who has called his household servants together and he put something in their hand. A few extremely valuable coins called talents. This is essentially an ordination ceremony. We may not be giving it to a king or a priest, but nevertheless, it's here. Here is responsibility, here is task. We need to go and do things with them. He filled their hands with responsibility and duty, and then he left them for a time. What responsibilities has God given you? What has he put in your hands and asked you to do? I can't sit here and answer that for you. In Leviticus, it was very prescriptive, wasn't it? You read through and you see in quite detail all that was done. The fact is, the responsibilities, the talents, the wealth, whatever God has given to you, he's given to us each in a different measure. All of us are unique. We know this to be true. Some more, some less, in all sorts of things. Romans chapter 12 talks about this as well. The fact is that none of us are given nothing. We all have opportunities, we all have abilities, and we may talk ourselves down, but God doesn't talk you down. God gives each of us a lot. And the responsibilities that he's put in my hands, he hasn't put in the next person's hands. They have their own. And he hasn't put them in the preacher's hands. They're my responsibilities. Preaching's pretty useless, actually. I know we spend a lot of time doing it, but all of it's just talk. It's empty unless it's actually acted upon. It's empty unless we leave from here and we go and we discharge the responsibilities that God has given us. All preaching does is remind us of these things and sort of point in a coherent fashion some things that we should already be doing or should already know, or at least maybe did not know but now do know and have to carry out. Of course we can help others. And of course we can ask for it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 makes this abundantly clear, that we can bear one another's burdens. But at the same time, and in pretty much the same passage, we also must bear our own burdens. We must carry our own tasks. Galatians 6:5 says that we are to bear our own burdens. But not just burdens. You know, what God has given us isn't supposed to be something that's heavy and difficult. He says that the yoke is easy, that the burden is light. What he's given us, what we can do, are grand contributions, things that no one else is able to do. You can achieve. There are people you know that no one else knows. There are things that you have that in particular ways no one else can do. And we get to determine for ourselves our commitment to God. I can't stand over you with a bullwhip or a guilty conscience or anything and make you do much of anything, really. At the end of the day, we take on what we're responsible for. We decide how much we lift to this burden. We can take what we've been given and double it. As those who were faithful and were praised by the owner. well, we can take what we have, we can be afraid, and we can bury it. We can say, oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, I don't feel open enough. Oh, I don't think I can. Whatever it might be. We get to determine that for ourselves. And God is clear that He has given us the confidence and the boldness to do grand things with what He's put in our hands. I'm reminded of, and think back to Joshua 24 and verse 15, really well-known passage, but its power never diminishes. Joshua was the leader of Israel and at the time of transition, and it's sort of almost like his last words that he's declaring were a foundational statement, and really this was to be taken by all of Israel. He says to them, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. He knew that idol worship was a problem. He knew that a wandering eye, a lack of commitment to God, was a problem for Israel. So then there's an almighty but. He says, I can't stop you if you're going to go and be doing these things. I can't stop you from worshipping other gods. At the end, that's your decision. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, he says. As for all that I'm responsible for and all that I can commit to, we will serve the Lord. We will discharge that responsibility that I have been given. I'm not going to bury this under the ground. I'm going to live this. It's an American singer-songwriter called Ben Harper, and he sings a song called With My Own Two Hands. Part of the lyric says, I can change the world with my own two hands. I can make a better place with my own two hands. I can make a kinder place with my own two hands. I can make peace on earth with my own two hands. I can clean up the earth with my own two hands. I can reach out to you with my own two hands. I can make it a brighter place. I can make it a safer place. I can help the human race. I can hold you in my own two hands. I can comfort you with my own two hands. And he says, you've got to use your own two hands. As I said, God isn't prescriptive in the New Testament as He is in Leviticus. The New Testament Christian is driven by attitudes and motivations as much as by orders and ordinances, really carefully defined things. There are no detailed descriptions, really, of how Christians are to evangelize, how they are to love, how they are to forgive, how they are to admonish or teach or show hospitality or turn away from sin and fill ourselves with righteousness or even to endure. We don't have 25 chapters where it's this and this and this and you do this and you stand here and then this bit comes in and all this. No, it's much more about these underlying principles that we have. Whoever comes across your life's journey, love them, treat them kindly and gently, think the best of them. People do wrong by you, forgive them. People need hospitality, meet those needs. It's not if they check this box and that box, it's through your life course, as you do, as they've given you all of these talents and abilities to identify these things. We're simply exhorted to do so, and when it's required, to the utmost of our ability, not burying our talent in the ground, hoping no one notices, but rather we're called to shine a light. We're called to celebrate the responsibility that God has placed in our hands and to use it with all our might to His glory. individual. When you were baptized, you were ordained as a priest in God's house. He filled your hands with jobs and duties. Those jobs and duties in your own two hands, they can change the world. They'll be different for everyone. There'll be some similarities. There is so much we can do with what God has given us. The question is, are we fulfilling our responsibilities? Are we maximizing what God has given us, what God has asked of us? I can't stand over you and tell you yes or no. We have to take on these questions. We have to find the answers. We have to be determined to do this as priests of God. Thank you very much.